Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the only show that covers our schools, their sports teams, and our community at large. This podcast is part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post. And as always, this show is brought to you by the 562.org. I'm JJ Fiddler.
I'm Tyler Hendrickson. This show is only possible because of the support of our sponsors, our donors, our subscribers. I want to shout out Naples Rib Company once again. Staying as the title sponsor for the upcoming school year. Dave Ursini over there, longtime supporter of Long Beach sports generally, but also everything that we do at the 562. Also Ocean Law Center, another sponsor of ours. And thank you to all of the donors that contributed to our recent GoFundMe. It was a super successful fundraiser. We will need to continue to do those as a nonprofit. We do need community funding in order to stick around and continue to cover Long Beach sports. So thank you to everyone who's already gotten involved. And if you'd like to subscribe, it's really easy. Just head to the website, the562.org. There's a support tab right there that says support the 562, or a big button that says subscribe. Click on that. It'll take you to our Patreon page and you can sign up to contribute whatever you're able to each month to keep the 562.org in business.
Slight programming note here. We are trying to soak up as much summer as possible, sitting poolside, listening to the new Vince Staples. I just returned from the great outdoors. Mike and his family are currently in the mountains. Tyler, I'm sure you'll go on some amazing adventure coming up here pretty soon. And so we missed last week on the pod. This week, we are talking to Lakewood football coach Justin Utupo about returning to his alma mater and building that program back up. But next week, we're going to give you two episodes since we missed last week, and those are going to be the All City episodes. Every year we hand out the All City Awards to the local high school athletes who were the absolute best, and we're excited to announce those next week. The list also available, obviously, at the562.org. But right now, as I said, soaking up summer. So if it's summertime in the LBC, we're usually talking some baseball, and we're talking baseball again this week. Great stuff for hashtag LB in MLB. Seven different guys getting their names called in the Major League Baseball first year player draft who are either from Long Beach, played baseball in Long Beach, went to school in Long Beach, and the All-Star game also on Tuesday, continuing a great streak. Justin Turner, born in Long Beach, representing the Los Angeles Dodgers and the National League. That means Long Beach has had a representative in 11 of the last 12 All-Star games. And as long as we've been covering sports in Long Beach, we've had guys in the draft every year too. So it's just an annual tradition at this point, Tyler.
It's just kind of what we do. You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of talent from a lot of different schools, and that's really the coolest part when you really look at it. It's not just having, you know, we're lucky to have kind of a mid-major powerhouse in Long Beach State. You know, for a while had more guys in the show than any other school anywhere in the country. So that's really special having that in our backyard, but also the high schools. You know, there were four different guys from four different Moore League high schools that got drafted, one each from Lakewood, Wilson, Pauley, and Milliken. So just having those kind of programs, it's really cool. And then seeing those guys get to the next level. And you mentioned JT in the All-Star game for the Dodgers, but really there could have been more. I mean, JP Crawford was one of those guys that a lot of people said should have gotten in, certainly could have, right on the borderline. He's playing really well right now. And you know, we'll see how the dust settles towards the end of the year. Got off to a slow start, but a Gold Glover at shortstop who's had a much better job in the leadoff spot offensively this year for the Mariners. So a lot of guys to be excited about in the show. And, you know, that's just, we're a little spoiled. We just have it all the time, JJ.
JP Crawford, obviously representing the Lakewood Lancers. Too bad Justin Turner didn't go to high school in Long Beach, so we could do more stuff on him. But hopefully he gets to extend that Long Beach in the World Series streak. Long Beach has had a representative in the World Series seven of the last eight World Series. I guess we can't say years anymore, huh? Since there was nothing, in 2020 in July, we can't be like, oh yeah, of those years. But yeah, seven of the last 8 years in the World Series and 11 of the last 12 All-Star games. LBC, well represented in those games. That's so cool, man. To be able to turn on the TV or check my fantasy baseball league and always see Long Beach names pop up. I know we surround ourselves with Long Beach sports. It's what we love. It's what we do. It's what we live for. But it's cool that it like leaks over into these other interests that we have. Cause I don't ever want to go cover a Major League Baseball game. I don't want to sit in the press box or anything like that, but it's a lot of fun to check the box score and see guys from Long Beach doing their thing.
Well, it just kind of sets the expectation, right? You know, it kind of just passes down from each generation, you know, so a kid grows up watching Aaron Hicks, and then they become the next role model for kids watching them when they're in high school and college, you know, and it's generationally passed down, and it sets an expectation, and it ends up lifting the programs and knowing that it's possible. You know that if you grow up in this community or you play baseball on Bull Diamond at Blair Field, that's where a lot of the big leaguers come through. And so you know that your dreams are within reach. You just have to work hard, and credit to the kids for putting in all the effort and the time. It is not something that happens overnight. You do not go to the All-Star game just because you're born and end up with the right team. It is a grind to make it there. And Long Beach kids just have that work ethic, I guess, but it's a longstanding tradition. I don't know if it's in the water, or credit certainly goes to the coaches as well and all the programs that have made it possible, but it's certainly a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it wasn't the most fun to see the jerseys that they were wearing. We got to talk about it, JJ. It's as close to a consensus as I've seen Major League Baseball just unable to get out of its own way, really, for the last 3 or 4 years. How bad were those All-Star Games unis? Talk to me.
Awful, distractingly awful, to be honest. You know how I know that Major League Baseball knows that they messed up? When they took the picture, there's always those famous pictures with all the All-Stars. They get them together in center field. I think it's the day of the Derby is when they do it, before the Home Run Derby. They were all wearing their regular jerseys. So even Major League Baseball knew, oh, these things are bad, man. We can't have any historic references coming back to this picture. We got to show them in their pinstripes and their roadies and their homes, man. Just how about throwbacks? How about like 1980s, 1970s jerseys? Like, if you want to get fancy and resell uniforms to try to make money, do that for sure. Don't try to reinvent the wheel, though.
Right. I don't know. I don't mind when they have kind of the alternates as like BP tops or whatever, and then they try to sell those.
That's fine.
I don't think seeing them in the game is going to make people more likely to buy them, but they also just weren't well executed. You know, some of them look really bad when you have the letters under the logo, and then the Cubs logo just looked like a handle going down to a little fork at the bottom. It looked like a cane, basically, under the Cubs logo. So there were definitely some bad ones. I think some of the jerseys look better than others. I think the Navy looked way better than the white. I think some of the teams, the logo and the letters happened to work out a little bit, but like, for me, the coolest part of the All-Star game is seeing all the different jerseys.
Absolutely.
And having them on the team together. We talked about it for the NBA. I think the NBA All-Star game looks better when you let them wear their actual jerseys. And it's just, you know, it's another example of kind of, like you said, money coming into it. They want to sell more and make money, but at what cost, you know? I feel like it's losing the kind of charm that the game has.
I was watching the game with a friend of mine who doesn't watch as much baseball as us, which is, you know, probably the majority of people in this world. And it was, a pitcher came in and he said, hey, whose team is this guy on? What team is this guy on? We couldn't tell, right? Like, if you're doing that during an All-Star game, questioning what team a guy's on, you're doing it wrong, Major League Baseball, something they've been accustomed to recently. And you're right, Tyler. The young star power, the way the game is developing right now, the way the game is changing, you know, everybody's talking about like the sticky substances and all that stuff. Any news is good news, right? Any press is good press. They're in the zeitgeist right now. Baseball matters, and they just keep making these huge mistakes. I heard Manfred say something the other day, like, oh, cutting down minor league ballparks in these cities and making the minor leagues smaller is really helping everyone. What a stupid thing to say. Why would you say that? Can't get out of their own way is the best way of phrasing it.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I almost feel like they just don't watch baseball or like don't like it. It's really quite alarming. And then obviously the inability to kind of market the young stars. You know, this is kind of your spotlight. And like you said, it's baseball feels like it's more relevant now. And a big part of that is Shohei Ohtani and all the awesome stuff that he's doing, just flat out unprecedented. And I don't care what language he speaks, he's awesome and he's really fun to watch. And he's a great face for baseball. And, you know, I don't think they're really getting the most out of it. And hopefully he's able to continue this for the next 5-10 years. But, you know, I made an effort to get down to Angel Stadium because I'm like, I don't know how long he's going to be able to pitch and hit at the same time.
Yeah.
Simply because we've never seen it like this. So, you know, I mean, this is the time to really try to, you know, pump that out there and put him as the face and say, hey, look how cool and unique this is. But yeah, I just don't, I just don't really see that happening well, and that they're focusing on the wrong things, like these weird, you know, uniforms that no one really seems to like.
Man, you're going to have to jump in the DeLorean or the George Michael time machine or whatever to try to go back and find out another time when California baseball was balling the way California baseball is balling right now. I mean, obviously you've got the NL West with the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. And then you've also got most likely the MVP in Shohei Ohtani playing for the Angels, and Mike Trout's coming back in a couple of weeks. God dang, we are floating in amazing baseball right now.
I know you're not going to say it, but the Giants have the best record in baseball also. And the Padres might be the most fun and exciting team in baseball, and also some terrific ballparks. I mean, Angel Stadium, not necessarily my favorite. I would say kind of, you know, maybe league averages, but has some cool elements to it. Petco Park, beautiful. Oracle, AT&T, whatever it's called up there for the Giants, beautiful. Dodger Stadium, classic, timeless, lovely place for a ball game. And then, the Coliseum has some memories.
Dude, did you see their first game back with quote-unquote full capacity was attended by like 9,000 people?
I did, which is tough. It wasn't a great opponent. I will say, though,
we get 9,000 people at high school football, bro.
Well, not often anymore, but I will say the hardcore A's fans are great. There's just not quite as many of them, but they are passionate and loud, and they're, and I like going to A's games because I can afford to go to A's games. but the Coliseum is terrible. So hopefully that can be better. But you're right. We're lucky to live in a state where there's so many exciting baseball players and teams. And I'm excited to see how the rest of the season is going to go. Do you, obviously you got to be riding with your Dodgers, right? The rest of the way into the second half.
Obviously. I might even get some guys on my fantasy team just so I can like really, you know, double down on that stuff. My fantasy team started hot. Really got into the dog days of summer, though. How's yours doing?
It's an up and down experiment. I think everybody's been so hit by injuries. I'm fairly lucky. I haven't had anything too major, but still figuring it out, putting the pieces together. It's just a very competitive league this year. There's a lot of teams in it, but
Tyler and I are in the same league. When did we start this? Like 2012, 2013. Shout out JCM, John Charles Martin, Commissioner Extraordinaire. He and I, the only multiple championship winners of this fantasy baseball team or fantasy baseball league that we've been in.
Fair enough. Good job. Congratulations.
I knew you'd like that one. Hey, before we wrap up this baseball segment, I do have to shout out Long Beach Pony and Long Beach Little League. Both of those programs were able to host multi-city tournaments last week. Think about that. It's not since 2019, the summer of 2019, has a Long Beach youth baseball program been able to host teams from other cities in postseason action. And Long Beach and Hartwell out of Lakewood were able to advance through the Super Region. They're going to be in the zone tournament on the road in West Hills this week. So you can check out the story about that, their return, what it took to get back, how the players and the coaches and the kids are feeling, being able to be back at Whaley Park, the famous Whaley Park, and get that stuff done, be back to normal a little bit. And I actually got to talk to president and 13U All-Star manager Ken Jackamer about that rivalry with Hartwell, because baseball is nothing without its rivalries.
Oh my gosh, it defines everything that I think both programs do. I mean, we're both striving to be the best around. Hartwell has had that forever. I mean, I'm elderly now almost. And they were always the kings, and came over here, and we were able to, you know, develop a competitive program against them. And we've had really good success the last 10, 15 years, but there is never a season where Hartwell can't come over here and knock us off. Even when we've gone to the highest heights, they've been usually kicking us before we get there. So they're someone we all always fear their ability to step up to another level against us.
We mentioned earlier Naples Rib Company, again, the title sponsor of the 562.org for the next school year. We are incredibly grateful to Dave Ursini and everyone down at Naples Rib Co. for their long time and continued support of everything we do at the 562.org. Naples Rib Company, the best barbecue in Long Beach for my money. Great place to go down. They're open for indoor dining, big dining room to go down there. A lot of teams have their banquets or get meals catered, and just really no one feeds Long Beach's athletes quite like Naples Rib Company, and we appreciate their sponsorship over the years. So be sure to get on down, to 2nd Street, head into Naples Rib Company. You can do a takeout order. You can get a big hog pack for your family over the weekend, or you can go in, sit down and have a nice barbecue dinner, and be sure to let them know that the 562.org sent you down there to support them.
We now welcome on our special guest for the week, a Lancer alum and the new Lakewood football coach, Justin Utupo. Toops, how you doing out there, man? How's everything going?
Hey, what's up, JJ? I'm doing good. What's up, Tyler?
How's the fam? I know you guys are expecting another little one, right?
Yes, we're expecting our third child, trying to build that tribe.
Congratulations, man. How else is stuff going off the field? I mean, as a new football coach, obviously you're dealing with a lot of paperwork as well as trying to build that family atmosphere with the Lancers.
Yes. Putting together my staff has been one of the priorities after meeting with the team and establishing our culture. And so we are, you know, my goal is to surround our players with the best coaches, the best mentors, and it truly takes a village. And so during this interview process, I'm asking all the right questions this time around, making sure we're bringing the right guys, because I've learned from my past experiences that you want to have coaches around you that you can trust and lean on and that are going to be there for the right reasons.
So who are some of those guys that you've got coming in?
Yes, I'm excited because one of my former college teammates from the University of Notre Dame, Malik Zaire, is going to be running the offense, coaching up our quarterbacks. I'm excited because, you know, we played together and now we're coaching together. So it's great. We got some Lakewood alums on our staff as well. Vince Hernandez, he spent a long time with Coach Lobendon at John Glenn as the defensive coordinator. And so he's been a huge addition to our defensive staff. And Robert Burdett, he played running back at Lakewood. He'll be coaching our running backs. And Coach Cameron Gallagly, he's working with our kickers and special teams units. And so I think it was important for me to reach out to some of my former teammates and bring back some alumni, because we saw how Lakewood, but during the time with Coach Mack, how it was the place to be and the culture and what was expected of the players in the classroom, on the field, and in the community. So those guys, my former teammates, they get it. So I'm excited.
Well, and you mentioned it, you know, you were kind of there during the glory days, right? And they're not that, you know, they're not that long ago. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're still a young guy. So what going in there now as a head coach and knowing what you saw it look like before and kind of what you want it to look like again, you know, what are the first, you know, things that you want to do? I mean, like, I guess you mentioned the coaching staff, that's a big part of it, setting your culture and having guys you can trust. But, you know, what are some of the things that you're looking to do to try to get Lakewood back to where you want it to be?
Yes. So when I was at Lakewood, we had unbelievable support from admin, like having academic support. And so I think that's the biggest thing is for me is building those relationships and partnerships with academic advisors on campus, our counselors, all of the administration, because it's going to take all hands on deck to get our players to the next level. And their grades, you know, are huge in that sense that, I mean, if they don't have the grades, coaches aren't even bothering looking at their film. And I remember, you know, my time at Lakewood, we had so many of my teammates playing college football and getting scholarships. And so I think the first thing that I did when I looked at all of our players' grades. And so we are lucky to have Coach James Rivera on campus as a teacher. And we're working on putting together some academic support system for our players to make sure that they're eligible. Not only that, but they know how to study. They know how to get organized, and also just getting more involved in the community. Coach Mack, when I was at Lakewood, I mean, we had to walk around the neighborhood selling coupon books. and his whole thing was, it's a good way to get in the community. And so right out of the gates, we did a community service project. One of our former teammates lives right across the street. They were moving to Texas, and I saw it as an opportunity for us to give back. And so our whole entire team, we went over there, we walked over there, helped the family load up the U-Haul truck. So little things like that, I think, from their academics to their involvement in the community, those are some of the first priorities for me and the staff in turning this thing around.
I'll tell you what, when you guys were doing your thing at Lakewood under Coach McNeil, you guys were never scared of anybody. And when I stopped by Pauley High School on Sunday for that 11 on put on by the Los Angeles Chargers and Nike, you guys were doing a little passing league against the Pauley, and your team was not scared. Pauley ended up taking it with a couple of goal line stops, but your Lancers did not back down at all. They were ready for that competition. It looked like they were hungry for that competition. Is that something you came in and tried to do immediately?
Yes. Just believing in themselves, because I don't know what was going on before I joined the staff, but I made it a point to let our team know that we have great players. We have a lot of athletes on our team, and we can beat anybody that we line up against. And so just getting them to believe in themselves and trusting on the guy standing next to them. It was exciting, man. JJ, when I saw you out there, I thought it was Friday or something. And then, you know, the coaching staff. So like I mentioned, we have, you know, Lakewood alums on our staff, and they remember those days playing against Pauley. So our coaching staff was fired up. It got the players fired up. And you know what? I hope that we can bring back that Lakewood Pauley rivalry, because it's good for the whole league. And I'm just excited to play them. We don't play them until our last game of the season. So it was nice to see them on Sunday.
Bring back the Moore League Super Bowl. Absolutely. I'll tell you who was impressive. Your new quarterback, Braden Downing. That kid can spin the skin, man.
Man, he has a strong arm.
Yeah, he does.
It was cool to see all of our team get excited. He won the farthest throw competition. He threw it 60 yards. I feel like he could have got it 65, but he's been a great addition to our team. He's a leader, leads by example. He's not going to be your vocal rah-rah guy, but I mean, we're lucky and fortunate to have him, and I'm excited for him and his growth and what he's going to do in his junior season.
And coach, one of the things at Lakewood that we're really excited about is, you know, just the new facilities that you guys are getting. We've talked about it, written stories about it, you know, the new fields coming in, Lakewood, the last school in the Moore League. Jordan's on their own timeline, but of the schools that are getting renovations, they'll be getting a new field and also a new weight room, definitely some upgrades there. Where's that at? Give us an update on how things are looking with the facilities. I know you guys have been out on the blacktop and had to find different ways to get it in during the off season, but how's everything looking over there with the upgrades?
Man, we are excited. The turf is down. It's all laid out. They're getting ready to stitch in the logo. I believe the next step is for them to come in and do the track. And so it's looking nice. I don't know if you guys have been by campus, but we're all anxious. We cannot wait for it to be done. We're hoping that it's ready before our first home game. And not only that, our weight room will be getting renovated at the end of this year too. So that's all going to help us in our goals for academic and athletic excellence that we talk about. Having the best facilities is going to help take our program to the next level. So we're very grateful to the district and to our admin and our athletic director, Mike Wadley, Coach Wadley, for getting this thing rolling, because not only for our players, but for the community and the alumni and the student body and everyone else that's going to be using the field, it's going to be great all around. And it's going to, I already have heard from a bunch of my former teammates and alumni that they can't wait to come watch a game, just not only because of the team, but because of all the new facilities. And so we're actually grateful to our baseball team for allowing us to use their field during this time, because we do have to share their field, and they've been great in allowing us to use it.
So you're the new coach at Lakewood, but you know, obviously you know Lakewood very well, and you're a new coach in the Moore League, but you're not a new coach because you coached at Millikan. Is there something you learned in your time at Millikan that's going to help you build this program back up at Lakewood?
You know what? My time at Millikan was great. And I think I learned just some of the stuff as far as when I'm talking to you guys and getting interviewed. Yeah, be careful some of the things I say. No, I'm just messing. But I think just in my overall like experience as a coach, I think the most important thing that I've learned is, like I mentioned earlier, is surrounding myself with men that I can trust, men and women on my staff that I can lean on and really trust. And I also think my time at Milliken, I wanted to do everything myself. I wanted to do the equipment handouts. I wanted to be out there organizing practice and running different drills. I learned that I need to be able to delegate different tasks and responsibilities to my staff. And I'm fortunate to have some former coaches on that Milliken staff with me at Lakewood, Coach Fernando Vermontes, Dustin Presley, and also my wife, Coach Leilani, who she runs our strength program. I can trust these coaches to get the job done. If I'm not there, I know practice and everything will run smooth because we all understand the expectations and the healthy culture that it's going to take for us to get to the next level. So,
well, and I'm looking forward to that that Milliken Lakewood game for a number of reasons. Obviously, you know, you're going against your former program, but also those teams didn't get to play last year. And there's a trophy on the line. That's a big rivalry. You know, also, I'm sure Lakewood's excited to play mm-hmm. Wilson as well, go against Coach Meyer. So there's a lot of storylines in play for you guys. Are you thinking about that? Are you hyping that up of like, yeah, we want our shot at Milliken? Or are you just trying to say, hey, let's take it one day at a time and worry about the first game before we get there? We write up the headlines because we're excited. We build the hype. That's what we do. But what's it like within the program? How excited are the kids? I know that rivalry is ready to boil over, baby.
You know me, I'm excited. I love rivalry football games. It's seeing the Hamilton Trophy in our office. It's crazy seeing, you know, Lakewood, Milliken, all the years stitched on. And then I see the years when I was at Milliken on there. And I'm like, it's even crazy just for me to see. And I'm not quite sure why they didn't play last year, but I've kind of heard a little bit of the background. But I know our players and our coaches are eager and excited for that game. And then also, you know, against Wilson, I know our players are excited to be able to play against their former coach. And we wish Coach Meyer the best. We saw him on Sunday. They got a great team, a great program. I know they didn't have their quarterback there at the event, but I just think both of those games are going to be very competitive. Milliken has a ton of studs on their team. Same with Wilson and all around our league. And I think it's good when we have these rivalry games and all these games are competitive. It's good for the entire league and getting exposure and getting kids noticed by these colleges. So I'm excited. Our coaches are excited. Players are excited. You guys are excited.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We are itching to get under those Friday night lights. You were going to be actually one of the first games we cover for this next upcoming season, the return to normalcy. The first game against St. Anthony and their new coach, Raul Lara. It's going to be Thursday, August 19th. What are some of the other games you really like on your schedule?
Oh, I really like, just because of what we have planned for these certain games, we're going to play Cabrillo, and it's going to be a Hall of Fame game. So anyone who was inducted into the Lakewood Hall of Fame, we're inviting and former alumni. It's going to be a great game. I'm excited for the first home opener game against North Torrance in the new field. The milk bucket game with Mayfair. Yep. I mean, Mayfair, what Coach Bedell has been doing over there. I mean, he's put together great teams year in and year out. And so we forget about that milk bucket rivalry because they didn't play a few years ago. It kind of went away, and
that's right.
So I'm excited to get that rivalry rolling again. And I know our players are too, because some of those, you know, we're both in Lakewood, and I mean, some of those kids at Mayfair, our players have grown up with, played Pop Warner together. So that's going to be a great game. But St. Anthony, always the first game. I know they got Coach Laura over there. I saw him when I was at Orange Lutheran last year, and he was at Servite. And we kind of spoke about our next moves and coaching. And I had no idea he was going to make his way back to Long Beach. I'm happy for him, and we're excited for that challenge.
Hey, we're happy to get a couple more league guys out of the Trinity League. We will say that.
You know hell I mean? Yeah. We're
happy guys back.
Hell yeah. we mentioned it earlier. You're a Golden Domer. How's the Notre Dame Fighting Irish look this year, Coach?
Man, they're going to go undefeated, and they're going to win their first national champion, their 12th national championship.
I love it. I knew that was going to be your answer. So I was going to ask you who's going to win the national championship, but I knew that would be your answer. So who you got winning the Super Bowl this year? Who's your Super Bowl pick?
Well, believe it or not, I'm a Chargers fan, but I don't think we're there yet. I think the Chiefs are gonna take it this year.
Just give them an offensive line. They might be the undefeated team.
Yes, exactly. That's what they were missing in the Super Bowl. So
you're a Chargers fan. Mm-hmm. I always talk to coaches about this. Like your favorite era of football. Like for me, it's the LT era in San Diego. Like
hands down.
when we would get inside in the red zone and people would just started chanting LT, everybody in the freaking building knew that he was getting the ball and still the defense couldn't stop him.
Yes.
But what's your favorite era of football? Same.
My favorite NFL player is Drew Brees. So when he went to the Saints, I was bummed out, but yeah, when Drew Brees was there, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Merriman. I mean, those were some of my favorite times watching the Chargers.
Get down to the Murph very often. I still call it the Murph. That's how much of an old Charger head I am.
It's crazy. I always catch myself calling them the San Diego Chargers still. So I still can't believe they moved to LA, but it's nice because we had a nice event on Sunday. So I love to see them getting involved in the community.
Yeah. How did that go? Did you have kind of a falling out with the organization when they moved? Are you comfortable with them being in LA? It's been very complicated for JJ. It's been a very, very tough ride ever since they left.
Oh yeah. The Spanos family won't get another dime of my money or an ounce of my love until they're out.
Man, I don't know why they left, man. It's San Diego is their home, but I guess it's cool that they're a little closer, but it's not the same.
I totally agree. All right, before we let you get out of here, I want to ask every coach this season, because we started doing it during the time of pandemic and got some interesting answers. And the question is, what's going to define success for Lakewood football this season? For you, for your players, for the program, what will define success for you guys?
Honestly, my biggest thing is the way we compete together as a team. And I say this all the time, the scoreboard never really matters to me. It's the way we go out there from the first quarter starting fast to the fourth quarter finishing strong and playing together as a team. That's a successful team in my eyes and in our staff's eyes. And so I'm excited to see them. Our scrimmage is going to be against St. John Bosco. It's going to be nice to see our guys line up against the top team in the country. Throughout the whole year, you know, we're playing quality opponents from St. Anthony to Pauley, Milliken, Wilson. So even a team like North Torrance, who's been strong in the past, I mean, we're going to be able to see our guys go out there and compete against some of the best teams in our country, in the area. And so seeing them play together is going to be what makes me happy for sure.
Again, thank you so much to Coach Utupo for joining us on this show. Tyler, I am very much enjoying summer, as we said. But just being out there on Sunday at that passing league and seeing the teams and the new coaches and the fresh faces and the excitement, Long Beach Bobby out there doing his thing, you know what I mean? I'm very excited for football season, dude. Willie McGinnis, just hanging out, teaching kids how to get at the back. Isn't that freaking awesome, man? Like, he's not just doing it for Pauley, he's doing it for the whole city.
Well, I mean, yeah, how lucky are they? You know what I mean? Not many guys know more about getting off blocks and making plays than Big Willie does. And so much he's given back to the community. Yeah, we need more guys like Willie McGinnis in Long Beach, but they're hard to come by, and we're super grateful for sure.
So like I said, programming note, next week, get ready for our All-City Awards edition. We're putting on the bow ties, we're getting the jackets, we're combing our hair, we're handing out awards. Nobody has to do any speeches, though, so the show shouldn't be that long. But it's always fun to kind of relive the year, a year, obviously, unlike any other, and look at it from a distance, you know what I mean? Kind of not through a straw, but through binoculars, and really see how much the last few months have meant to this local sports community to, like we've said so many times, kind of get back to normal, but just around the corner, hopefully, a true return to normal. And we're going to have more episodes of What Up Long Beach coming at you here at the 562.org and the Long Beach Post. Again, big shouts to Naples Rib Company, all of our sponsors, including Ocean Law Center. Get at their website if you need any legal help, and come to the 562.org if you're looking for Long Beach sports.